There was a sense of guilt in David that he loved, but he never expressed that love. He cared for his son, but he never expressed that. When his son came back after his son was gone for 3 years, there was such a breach there. And I think David, he's feeling ravages of unrequited love. He wanted to love, but he didn't. He couldn't. And so guilty. You know, I've learned as I've gotten older, make sure this moment, you don't just pass over it, but this is an important moment. Savor the moments, because they go and they'll never come again.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 17 and 18.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Then David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed the Jordan, and by dawn, not even one remained who had not crossed the Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and arose and went to his home, to his city, and set his house in order and hanged himself. It says strangled himself, but I think your King James says, New King James says, hanged himself. That's what he did. Thus he died and was buried in the grave of his father. Well, was he a poor sport? You didn't take my counsel? You made me look foolish in the front of all these leaders? And so, was he just a poor sport? Or had he lost hope? He knew this was bad counsel that Absalom was following. You see, in bitterness and revenge that Absalom, I believe, had for David, remember when Absalom killed his half-brother Amnon because Amnon raped Absalom's sister Tamar. David didn't do anything about it. And Absalom took it upon himself to put his brother to death. The law said if you rape a woman, death. And Absalom did that. He did it by stealth. He did it 2 years after the thing happened because he knew it. You know, his father probably wouldn't go along with it. And then he fled, and he was gone for 3 years. And then he came back, and he was 2 years without even talking with his father. His father didn't want to see him. And so I think with Absalom, as he did that deed, Ahithophel, still in David's kingdom, still there with David, I think he was nursing a grudge because Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter, and Uriah was Ahithophel's, I think you'd say, grandson-in-law, married to his granddaughter. And that baby that was born of Bathsheba was the great-grandson of Ahithophel. And obviously, because of David's sin. And I think it was very difficult for Ahithophel to get over this. So I think he nursed the grudge. I mean, that's just speculation on my part, but you know how it works in your life and just how human nature is. I mean, there wouldn't be any other reason for Ahithophel to leave David them being such great friends, except maybe something, there'd be a breach in the relationship, and that seems to be what it very well could be. So what we see with Ahithophel, maybe he just realized that the counsel that Hushai gave that Absalom is following, he perceived that it was foolish. It was foolish counsel. And defeat is on the horizon for Absalom. and all those that are following him. And he knew that he was a co-conspirator, one of the main co-conspirators with Absalom. And when Absalom lost the battle to David, he knew that he would be put to death by David and probably didn't want to give David the satisfaction. Not going to give David the satisfaction of putting me to death. They're going to lose. Hey, no choice. I'm going to take my own life. So he does. I think that would be a good speculation. That's kind of how I see that. You think sometimes people will commit suicide, and there are a number of reasons why they do. Sometimes a person will commit suicide to get even with another person. Somebody hurt them so bad, and they hurt them so bad that they're going to hurt back by killing themselves, self-murder. The sad thing is, that person that you want to hurt, they're going to get over it in a very short period of time, and they're going to go on and live. And I don't think it accomplishes what that one who committed suicide thought it would accomplish, to inflict pain on the other person. Well, maybe for a short time, but another reason is hopelessness. People can reach a place of hopelessness, and I think Ahithophel, he thought, it's over for me. David's going to win. I'm going to be on the chopping block. It's over for me. It's a hopeless situation. You see, sometimes people could get into that in a hopeless situation. They feel maybe because of guilt for things that they've done, sins that they've committed, and they don't know how to get out of that. You know, Jesus is presented to them, but they don't take the forgiveness that Jesus provides, and they go on, and they get in a depressed kind of state. And people can do some of the worst things in a state of depression, and it's a horrible thing. We've had to do funerals in our church of people that they have foolishly done that, and it's a foolish thing to do. You know, just give it a day or two, and you'll find that you snap out of it. You know, you might be low, but don't take those extreme measures. You know, David was very gracious with some of those that came against him. Amasa. Hey, Amasa comes around to David, and that's the ruler of Joab's army. And David is kind to him, makes him ruler of his army. You see, so I think Ahithophel, you know, if he would have just come with David and say, David, it's because I'm hurting inside because of this. I know you're forgiven by God, but I'm dying because of this. My granddaughter, my grandson-in-law, and my great-grandson that died, you know, I pointed to you, David, and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm so sorry. You know, forgive me. I think David, he was a reasonable guy. But that wasn't the case here. And so you find as we go on, in verse 24, then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. That area there, Mahanaim, is on the border of Gad and Manasseh, and it was named by Jacob. Remember when Jacob fled from Laban? He had worked 20 years for Laban, and he finally fled, and then he was going to have to encounter his brother Esau, who 20 years earlier had threatened with death. So he sends his servants there. He's in this place, and he names it Mahanaim. The term is I forgot what the name of the term was, but it's to something. You look it up. Maybe in the side of your Bible you have it. Yell it out for me. Do you have it in the side of your Bible, Mahanaim, the name, to? Okay, well, you're just as dumb as I am. No, I'm only kidding. You say, well, Bill, you've been studying this. Yeah, and it'll come to me as I go on. But so David is there, and Absalom crosses the Jordan with all his men to encounter the battle. Then Absalom sent Amasa over the army in place of Joab. Now, remember, Joab's part of David's army. And Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithra, the Israelite, who went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So these were cousins, Amasa and Joab. They're cousins, and they're going against one another, one for Absalom, Amasa on Absalom's side and Joab on David's side. And Israel and Absalom camped in the land of Gilead. Now when David had crossed to Mahanaim, Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah, of the sons of Amnon. Now, remember one of the sons of Nahash, Hanun? Remember when David wanted to go to his son Hanun because his father Nahash died and give him his condolences and what Hanun did? All of his young counselors said, hey, David's not coming to give you condolences. He's coming to spy out the land. So they shaved half the beards of David's servants and cut off their, you know, their garment to, it says, the buttocks, and they sent them on their way, total humiliation. And so David came, he came against them, and they hired the Syrians to go against David, and David's commander Joab beat the Syrians, and so they backed off. But now here's another son of Nahash. Here's a good guy. Some will say, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah, that can be in a good sense, but sometimes there are bad apples that fall from a good tree. And it just so happened that Hanun was that bad apple. But this guy, Shobi, is a good guy. He comes to support David. And then Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar. Remember this guy? When David had asked, are there any of Saul's family left? You know, after Saul and Jonathan died, and they said, well, there's a son of Jonathan, a Mephibosheth, and he's with Machir in Lodebar. So it seems like Machir was taking care of Mephibosheth, who was crippled. And so this guy, here's a good guy. He's coming, helping David out. And then Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogalim. Now, this guy is 80 years old, and he's still serving, you know, serving the Lord, you know, and serving David. In fact, when the battle is won, David has said, come across the Jordan to Jerusalem with me because I want you to be close to me. And Barzillai says, you know, I'm 80 years old and my sight is going, my ears are going, and, you know, I want to die, you know, in my homeland. And so he stays on the east side of the Jordan. But here at 80 years old, he's just, and you see it when we get a little farther, but serving the Lord and serving David. And they brought beds and basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentil, parched seeds, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of the herd for David and for the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So what a great favor they were giving to David, and so it was very helpful to them. Now in chapter 18 it says, then David numbered the people who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and David sent the people out one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zariah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I myself will surely go out with you. Now, these two commanders are Israelites, but one is a Gentile, a Gittite. Ittai, remember when they were leaving the city because Absalom was making the coup and David didn't want bloodshed in the city and he was leaving, all the people that supported him were going? Ittai came to him and said, I'm going with you as well. And David said, no, don't go with me because you just recently came here and it's not going to be good for you wandering through the wilderness with me. Just stay and be part of Absalom's kingdom and preserve your own life. And Ittai He says in chapter 15, verse 21, just a beautiful thing. He said, as the Lord lives and as my Lord the King lives, surely wherever my Lord the King may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. Here is a Gentile, and this guy has total devotion and loyalty to David. And what does David do? Well, he rewards him with being a commander of a third of the army. Through testing comes trusting. When a person is tested and they go through difficult things, you know that you can trust them with your life. You could trust them with things that are important to you. And so here, Ittai, a Gentile, he now is part of the commanders of David's army. And he says in verse 3, but the people said, you should not go out, for if we indeed flee, they will not care about us. Even if half of us die, they will not care about us, but you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that you be ready to help us from the city. In other words, just command from the city, and you can send runners and send people out, tell us what to do. But David, you go out. They're not going to look to us to kill us. They're going to look to kill you. And if they get you, they've got it. They've won the battle. So David, you know, David's a man that listens to wise counsel. It's always good not to be so self-directed. You're not willing to listen to anyone else. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, and it's really important to get counsel, especially over important issues. And so the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. And the king charged Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. So interesting, especially when we end this, we want to talk a little bit more about it. But here Absalom, so cold, so indifferent, what the Bible tells us will be true in the last days, without natural affection. Kids toward their parents without natural affection, that's Absalom. He's without natural affection. And yet David, here David, his son, now wants to bring down the kingdom, wants to kill him. His son wants to kill him. And he's got this undying love, this superabundant affection for Absalom. Hard to understand, really hard to understand. But we do know David is a type of Christ. He fails in a lot of places, but a lot of the truths about David, as we end off, we'll see, are true about the Lord. But with David, in a human sense, he had this affection, he had this love, and yet he didn't show it. Somehow it was all bottled up inside of David. You know, sometimes it's hard, especially for men, I think, to really show love, to show affection, to, in a sense, be vulnerable in that area. For guys, it's hard, and it might be hard for women, but I've just found that, at least with my wife, that, you know, women seem to just be more open with their emotions and how they feel and all. I mean, God's just made them that way. And you see, David, unable to express that, and yet, I think maybe what it produced in David, when all was said and done, when Absalom was off the scene, I think it produced the ravages of guilt. There was a sense of guilt in David that he loved, but he never expressed that love. He cared for his son, but he never expressed that. When his son came back after his son was gone for 3 years after killing Amnon, I mean, Amnon deserved to die in my book, you know, especially, I mean, according to the Jewish law, And then, you know, David doesn't do anything about it. Absalom does. He runs. And then when finally he's brought back, David doesn't even say anything to him. And it takes Absalom burning Joab's field that was right next to Absalom's to get his attention to go see his dad. And then finally, you know, David kisses him and all. But I think at this point, you know, there was such a breach there. And I think David, he's feeling that ravages of unrequited love. He wanted to love, but he didn't. He couldn't. And so guilty. You know, I've learned as I've gotten older, and, you know, I've used to say it to my kids when they were young. Now I say it to my grandkids. You know, when we do something fun, I say, kids, savor the moment. You know, make sure this moment, you know, you don't just pass over it, but this is an important moment in your life, in our life. Savor the moments, because they go and they'll never come again. And I think that was the problem with David. He never really savored any of the moments he had with his son. And so he's telling him, you know, be gentle with Absalom, verse 6. Then the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. And the people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David, and the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. And the battle there was spread over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. The forest did more than the... Well, in these forests, there were pits, there were bogs, there were wild beasts. You couldn't maneuver as an army in the thicket of the forest. Then verse 9, now Absalom happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him kept going. Remember, he had a huge head of hair. That was his pride. He'd cut it once a year, and what did it weigh, 5 pounds? You know, he had a huge head of hair. It wasn't only his pride, but it was his, well, downfall, or uphanging, you might say. Here he is hanging in the branches of the tree. The head and hair is all tangled in there, and he's hanging between heaven and earth.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 17 and 18. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 17 and 18. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.